Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, in November last year, the New South Wales government announced a pilot ethics course would be trialled in state primary schools. It was meant to be an alternative to Scripture, SRE, Scripture and Religion Education. So kids with no religious background could spend Scripture time learning about ethics instead of just colouring in or watching videos, as some critics were actually saying. The course, prepared by the St. James Ethics Centre, was trialled in Term 2 in 10 schools with about 500 kids participating, and the results have been evaluated and the reports written, and the New South Wales Education Minister Verity Firth now has to decide if the course will be rolled out in schools next year. If it goes ahead, it could well set a precedent for the rest of the country. Stephen O'Doherty is a political commentator, former New South Wales Shadow Education Minister and head of Christian Schools Australia, has given a lot of thought to this very issue, and he's on the line now. Stephen, welcome to Open House again.
Hello, Sheridan.
Was this issue bubbling away back when you were Shadow Education Minister for New South Wales a few years back?
As a matter of fact, it was. Yes, the PNC Federation has been raising this issue as a matter of course now for, well, to my knowledge, then a couple of decades.
Because the St. James Ethics Centre say that they're actually just responding to a request by the PNC Association. It's kind of, we talk about the St. James Ethics Centre when it comes to this very issue, but actually the PNC Association have been requesting it for some time.
Yeah, based on the idea that the Act itself says that there's time set aside for special religious education for kids, the kids decide whether they want to opt into one of those courses or opt out. Years of practice and the Act itself say that you don't teach anything else during that period of time, so that the kids doing religious education won't miss out on any teaching. And the PNC Federation, on behalf of people concerned about this, said, well, it's not fair for those kids to basically, you know, waste an hour in their week where they're not allowed to learn anything. So they've been pushing for the introduction of this course for some time for that reason.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the critics of the trial, or critics of the ethics course being implemented in New South Wales schools, and let's get some response from you. The ethics class is meant to be an alternative, or I think the language used has been complement to SRE. The critics say it's been promoted as suitable for all kids, so it actually has an unfair advantage over other religious programs. Would you say there's something to that criticism?
I think there is. I mean, from the very beginning, this sets up a dualism about thought, and it sets up a dualism that is based on itself a philosophical idea that you've got evidence-based scientific inquiry, and philosophical ethics comes from that sort of line, a sort of Greek thinking line. The review of the course actually makes the point that moral philosophy is a discipline with a 2,500-year history to it. So that's the sort of Greek thinking that the New Testament is talking about. And, you know, in the New Testament we see that there's this discussion of a dualism between that sort of thinking and a religious worldview where we believe in a God, and therefore we take our moral precepts from him. So to answer your question in a brief way, having gone right around the world, yeah, I think it sets up an unfair dualism between ethics, moral ethics, and religion. And actually, it's now asking kids to choose one or the other, when you might say that there ought to be the opportunity to learn both.
Mm-hmm. Some folks who have called into this program when we last spoke about this said, well, look, you know, I'm not a Christian, and why is it that my kids only have a choice between SRE or, you know, sitting, you know, outside doing colouring in or something, or watching a video? Shouldn't they have an opportunity to do something as well?
Well, that's right. That's the dilemma. That's the question that the Minister for Education eventually has to sign off on. And it's a legitimate dilemma, that's for sure. But look, SRE is operated by volunteers who get accredited by the department or through their church, and any faith group can go in and conduct classes in schools. I've heard people complaining that they're part of a minority religion and there's no one available to teach their kids during special religious education time. This is not the fault of the system, as it were. It's part of living in a multi-faith society. And here's a question for the moral philosophers, or at least the ethical philosophers. Which is the greater good that's served here, or which is the greater ill? Hmm. If your child is choosing to opt out of religious education, you've chosen to opt out knowing the consequences.
Okay, I'd love people's thoughts on this again. 1-300-40-2020. If you're a parent with a child in SRE, what do you think about the introduction of an ethics course into your local public school? If you're a parent of a child who maybe your child is just in SRE simply because there's no better option, what's your experience and how do you feel about the whole idea of the ethics course? Love to hear from you. If you were one of the parents who whose child was at one of the schools where the trial happened, one of those 10 New South Wales schools, I'd love to hear from you as to how it worked. Or if you're an SRE teacher, I'd love to hear your perspective too. I know that for one particular school, attendance at scripture classes declined quite dramatically when the trial was on, and there was certainly some concern about that. 1-300-40-2020 is my number. I'd love to hear your feelings. This is Open House Across the Nation. Stephen O'Doherty is a political commentator and head of Christian Schools Australia. We're talking about this whole idea of New South Wales' idea of ethics classes coming in as a complement, or some would say an alternative to scripture classes. Okay, Stephen, see the trial's final report that was released out of the University of South Australia last month says that scripture has an unfair advantage. That it has an unfair advantage. It's the default option in many schools. And in fact, some schools encourage parents to opt into scripture even if their kids have no religion, simply so the teachers can take a break. Is there any kind of credence to that?
Oh, well, yeah, that's one way you can read the facts, but that's one way you can read what's happening now. But the history of the matter is that in all states of Australia that I can think of, going back to about, there's this period, you know, pre-1900, from about the 1880s on, maybe the 1860s, there was lively debate about public education. These were the days when the church was providing education for free. Now, this obviously, there was the Church of England, and then there was a Catholic response to that, so there were sectarian schools operated, and the churches came to this colony specifically believing that it was a very important social good that they were doing by educating young kids, you know? And I think we've got to acknowledge that the churches started education for the public in Australia, in colonies. So you get to the 1860s, 1880s, and there's a debate not just here, but we followed on from what was happening in the United Kingdom. People, luminaries such as Bentham and John Stuart Mill were involved in the debate in the United K about what public education ought to be. So began the public education movement, and the upshot of all of that was that public education was, according to John Stuart Mill, to be secular, to be free, available to everybody, and if it was available to everyone, needed to be secular. Recall, these are in the days when you had an established religion. We don't have that now, but the Church of England was the established religion. Public education, as distinct from that, was to be for everybody. It was to be, therefore, secular. And the iteration of that in Australia was in the form of education acts around the country. And Henry Parkes, who put in place the Education Act in the colony of New South Wales, quoting Mill and so on, said it had to be free and secular, available to everybody, but specifically the Act provided that there would be time set aside for the churches to come into the school to teach, you know, religion and therefore the moral, a moral religious point of view. So from the earliest days, from the earliest days we've had public education in Australia, time has been set aside for the churches to continue to teach for the moral good of society. So if you call that an unfair disadvantage, no, I'd call that part of our history. And it's a part of our history that we can't pretend is unimportant, and which those of us who, you know, who have a religious faith, as I do, think, you know, ought to be recognised. You can't just whitewash these things and say, well, we know better now. You know, we're now are much more modern. Therefore, we'll go back to some science inquiry-based idea about moral morality.
Because that's, of course, what some people will say. Actually, you know, times have changed and the role of the church in Australian society has actually diminished. And we've got a much more multicultural, cosmopolitan kind of country now. And so things just simply have to change. How long does those kinds of policy statements have to, you know, weigh into the present and indeed the future? That's the kind of line of reasoning that's raised.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? The review that you've spoken about says moral philosophy has a 2,500-year history. Well, you can say, well, Judeo-Christian religions have a 4,000-year history. And, you know, these ideas prevail. They are alive today, we believe, because God, our God, is a living God. But they're also, and it, this lives on in the minds of people to whom this is an important part of their life. You just don't say, we've become modern now, all of you people with religious views are therefore, you've got to get with the times. And this is what annoys, I suppose, bothers religious people with a religious view, and that is that a philosopher will sometimes come along and say, well, I'm going to respect your right to hold that view, it's just that you're wrong, and I'm going to talk down to you because you're so wrong. I am morally and intellectually superior because I have a more modern view that there is no God. Well, history doesn't show that that's true. They have no greater basis for the claim of that than does the person with a religious faith from saying, well, I know God because I have a relationship with him.
1-300-40-20-20 for your comments. Judith, hello.
Hello, good evening.
You're a scripture teacher?
Yes, I am a scripture teacher and have been for many years.
Did you see, did you have any role or was your class in any way involved in the trial?
No. Our schools, the two schools that we teach at were not involved in the trials, but one of our schools all of a sudden brought in the ethic for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was following along the lines of that which was being trialled.
Oh, as a separate program altogether, was it?
That was what was being taught from the classroom.
Okay.
The classroom that I access for scripture, the teacher actually had the moral, the ethic for that particular week up on her board.
Okay, so was it an invitation to the students to come and join it as an extracurricular activity?
Or? For her class.
Yeah.
This was for her class.
During SRE time or outside of SRE time?
Out of her salary, in her salary time, in her teaching time.
During SRE time?
Pardon?
During SRE time?
No.
Okay.
No, the school. But we did notice there was a big drop off from our scripture classes overall. Also, too, that we did notice that the children that go to non-scripture, they were never left with nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
They took out work that they hadn't finished, which really gave the kids in SRE an unfair disadvantage, because the others that went to non-scripture were able to finish off what they hadn't completed.
Okay.
So, I can see the dilemma, but as far as people saying what our children who go to non-scripture do nothing, I know that's what the Act says that they are they shouldn't be doing. They should be doing nothing outside of scripture. But from the schools that we go to, we have noticed that the children take work with them.
Okay.
And have always done so.
Yeah, okay.
So, really, and as I said, since this ethics business has come up, yes, our class numbers have gone down, but we've also noticed, too, over the last 12, 18 months, that this particular school that has always had the ethic for the week up on their board, and it is actually taught in the classroom because it's up in the class boards. Those children, anything done extracurricular, like a sport, a choir practice, dance practice, to go into an event in Sydney or to go into a local of Stedford or swimming, is always done on our SRE teaching.
Always done on SRE time, okay.
Every time.
Okay, that must be very frustrating when you and your team and all the other volunteers are actually putting so much time and effort into preparing for SRE. Should there be an ethics course run alongside scripture courses, SRE, in state schools, so that those parents who don't really want to have their children in SRE can actually take them out and put them into some sort of ethics course, so they're still getting some sort of moral kind of guidance or moral education? 1-300-40-20-20 is my number. We're talking about the New South Wales trial, and basically that state is waiting on a decision by its education minister as to whether that course is going to go ahead. It could well set a precedent for the rest of the country as well. Love your feelings. 1-300-40-20-20. Stephen O'Doherty is a political commentator, former Shadow Education Minister of New South Wales and head of Christian Schools Australia. Stephen, I noted that in the 6-odd recommendations that came out of the final report from the University of South Australia on the ethics trial, one of the recommendations was that the course be kind of extended to allow for a consideration of the issues around moral relativism. Of course, that's been one of the big criticisms from the church groups, that this kind of course doesn't actually teach right from wrong or how to discern right from wrong. It actually just teaches various approaches to think about issues to the point where you don't actually have any kind of guiding principles as to, yes, this is right, this is wrong. Would the inclusion of something about relativism actually help the course to be a little stronger?
Look, I think it would. I love philosophy. I think philosophy is really important. Again, this goes back to this false dualism. And really, on both sides of this argument, there have been mistakes made, in my view, both by the St. James Ethics Centre and also by the churches in their responses. But on this question, yes, the churches were concerned that a values-based course or some sort of general philosophy course on ethics would end up being more of a postmodern course that, you know, where the majority opinion ends up being the right opinion. Mm. Any truth is the truth, provided you believe it to be true, sort of idea, which goes back to that intellectual superiority that I spoke about earlier. There is no God because you can't prove it, but if you want to believe it, you know, you go right ahead. But as it turns out, you know, there are, of course, many, just as within the church, there are many branches of philosophy. And the people who did the evaluation from the University of South Australia were quite clear to point out that moral philosophy itself is a discipline which has, you know, some specific approaches to thinking. And they would go back to some universal ideas about where morality comes from, so that you can't end up with a proposition that to kill people might be a good idea, provided that everybody agrees. You know, it's not quite as simple as that. So to the extent that the churches had argued that there shouldn't be just a general course that waters down the general morality in society, the review has picked that up and has recommended that the course should be renamed and maybe made more rigorous in allowing the students to explore this whole idea about whether something is true if enough people believe it. Now, that's quite an improvement. Where I think the mistake's been made, Sheridan, is that every student in an Australian school ought to have a grounding in the great moral thinking of our culture. Now, they ought to also be able to study, of course, the great spiritual teaching and the moral truths that come for those who believe in God. You shouldn't have to have one or the other. And when I was the Shadow Minister for Education, I was very taken with the approach that, say, the International Baccalaureate follows, which is that there's a course that's central to the entire curriculum, which is more of a philosophy course. It's based around the idea of learning to learn, actually. But with a bit of extension, you could actually say that there ought to be a central course about thinking, central to the entire curriculum. You could start it early on in school and you could follow it right through to high school certificate level. The discipline of thinking ought to be across, therefore, the whole curriculum and ought to influence the other subjects as well. The mistake that's made here is to say you've just got 1 hour a week for religious thought, 1 hour a week for philosophical thought. You have to make a choice. Then we're going to get on with teaching maths or science or whatever it is. No, we don't live that way. That's not how our brains work. That's not how our community or society works. It ought to be across the whole life, and in a sense, it's based on a very old idea about education. And if I might say, this is why people are choosing Christian schools, because in a Christian school, for those who choose that education, there's a central religious belief that impacts on the discipline in the school, the values in the school, what's taught, the way in which the community relates to each other. It's a religious community, and that influences everything that happens within the school. It's not just a separate add-on thing for later on. And I suspect that because, you know, so many people are increasingly choosing Christian schooling, parents like that approach.
Yes. And indeed, the figures are certainly behind you, aren't they? I mean, there's been, what, 10% growth every year for the last decade or something
in Christian schools. That's greater than any other sector, growing faster than any other sector.
Yeah, this
is a time when people are not going to church. Sorry, that's not true. This is a time when the figures will show fewer people are going to church, or fewer people might put down some nominal religious affiliation on the census.
Yeah.
But as you say every week, Sharon, you know, this doesn't mean that there's less religious observance or less belief in community. It might just be the way that we're doing church needs to be refreshed.
And the way that we're seeking issues of meaning and spirituality is actually changing too. Two final questions. One, Could this whole thing have raised important questions for the quality of SRE in public schools? There have been various articles written about the accountability, about the quality of the scripture teaching, about the quality or the balance of some of the content, about relative training of the volunteers who run it. Has this raised significant questions that SRE actually needs to address, or have they just been furphies?
I think those questions have always been there, and I know that most of the larger churches have been addressing those questions very systematically over the last 10 years. So the quality of the curriculum that's being taught by scripture teachers who are backed by a major denomination is, I think, very good. There is training, there are materials that are given to them. Now, we all know from our own life at school that some teachers we really respond to and others we don't, so, you know, given that. But the more training the churches can put into that and the more resources they can put into it, the better. Let me turn the question around, though, and say, who's going to be teaching the ethics course? Well, it's going to be volunteers from the community, and they'll receive some training, they'll have some resources, and the review has talked about those resources needing to be enhanced in certain ways. It also talks about the need for the volunteers themselves are saying, oh, I wish someone had trained us in behaviour management. And every teacher will say amen to that across Australia.
Indeed.
That's the biggest issue in teaching today, probably. But Sheridan, so, you know, if you're a parent and you're saying, okay, I'm you know, wavering here, I want to think about this ethics course, well, ask yourself this. Who's going to teach it? What's their background? What do they believe? What values will they be imparting to your kids in this course? You know, you've got the written down curriculum, but what actually matters in the classroom is what's communicated by the values of the teacher themselves.
Indeed, yeah.
And if these people are, you know, there's every chance that they will impart values that you might not want your kids to know about. You as a parent need to know what's behind the motivation of the course itself.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at a major church, you can go to the Bible, you can see for yourself what your kids are learning. You can ask questions of the church, and there's an accountability through the church structures. So religion is just, you know, special religious education is not just some, you know, amateur dalliance. But we now ought to ask the same questions about the ethics course, because it will also be taught by volunteers.
Mm-hmm. All right. Final question then. What do you think those concerned, and particularly the churches that have been quite concerned about this whole trial, what do you think would be the best step forward then if the ethics course is adopted for the state of New South Wales?
There are a couple of responses. I think the first thing is to say that now that this course has been created, and it covers some pretty important material, it ought to be available to every student. The kids doing SRE, because they have a religious conviction and their parents would like them to go to religious instruction, shouldn't have to miss out on the philosophy course. Now, there's a dilemma for the minister or for the incoming minister in potentially a new government in March next year in New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
Why should everybody not be able to do the philosophy course if it's that good? Secondly, are we adopting a very old-fashioned view in any case about the place of philosophy and thinking skills in the curriculum? Do we still compartmentalise the curriculum in Australia? My answer to that would be yes, I think it is true, certainly in state schools that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, those who have been on the side of the churches in mounting a really, you know, it was a big campaign against SRE, which by and large didn't achieve its outcomes, and I say this in kindness, I suspect I would have run the campaign a very different way. I would have run it a very different way. And there's a response that says, okay, if the philosophy course is important, we'll run the moral philosophy course from a religious worldview perspective, because in our classrooms, in our churches, we're able to say why it's the case that every man is equal, why it's the case that every life deserves to be protected and preserved. It's because these are the things that have come from the God who made us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can analyze, you can ask yourself, where do these moral precepts come from? We can answer them in terms of God. Christians will answer them as Jesus, who displayed to us in flesh and blood what the character of God is like. These questions do not exist in a vacuum. They come even to secular philosophers, we think, because God has revealed it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the churches should have been emphasizing that their course incorporates this material and extends it to the very foundations of where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been a different and more productive line. For all of us in society, though, it really is, at one level, you know, it's not a bad debate to have. People ought to be asking where our morality comes from. And I know that's a question that you're asking on this program all the time.
Indeed.
And more power to you.
And to you too, Stephen. Always good to talk to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry.
Stephen O'Doherty, political commentator, CEO of Christian Schools Australia there.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.